As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to bring your attention to the prayer quilts. There are four this morning. We ask you to hold them in prayer, and when you leave the sanctuary, you'll tie a knot, sign the card, so that these people know that they are being held close in prayer by this congregation. This morning, I was all excited to bring the word of spring and new life, a new creation, and it was really cold. But as I drove into town and saw the trees were bursting as I came into Brighton, and that just brings joy to my heart. So on the heels of Earth Day and that joy of the awakening earth, I offer this prayer to God on all of our behalf, using an interpretation I made of St. Francis of Assisi's The Canticle of the Sun, which was written nearly 800 years ago, but I still think it's relevant today. Will you pray with me? Almighty and gracious Lord God, to you we give praise, glory, honor, and all blessings. Praise be to you for all the creatures, and especially for our brother, the sun. The sun brings us the light of day and radiates your magnificent power and glory. Praise be to you for Sister Moon and the stars. You formed them in the heavens. They are precious and beautiful. They capture our imagination. We praise you, Lord, for Brother Wind and for the air and the clouds, for the peaceful calm, and all kinds of weather that bring nourishment to the creatures and vines of the earth. We praise you, Lord, for Sister Water. Your gift of water is pure, life-giving, and precious. We praise you, Lord God, for Brother Fire, which lights the darkness with its strength and beauty. Praise be yours, Lord, for our sister Mother Earth, which sustains us and keeps us. She yields a multitude of fruits and colorful flowers and grass. We praise you, Lord, and those who forgive others in your name. And we bless and praise those who face weakness, illness, and trials. Blessed are those who endure this all with your peace. For you, Almighty One, will surely give them a crown. Now, God, in this quiet moment, hear the silent prayers and petitions on our hearts. Help us now, Lord, from this day forward, to accept these your loving and generous gifts and to protect them for all generations. Through your Son, Jesus, who brings new life and makes us a new creation, help us to mean it when we pray, your will be done on earth. Now let us join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please listen to God's word from the 21st chapter of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Dave. Back in late August 2005 is some of the aftermath of what happened. That's the left side of your screen. Anybody remember what was occurring at that time? Hurricane Katrina was coming on shore, coming from the sea, coming to where man had built and showing us some of our flaws. They had built levees to protect the other structures they had created. But they didn't anticipate this kind of rainfall and the swell that came behind it, and the levees failed. So what man put together, nature decided to wreak havoc. So what's the other side of the picture? That's 2015, 10 years later. It takes man a little bit longer than it takes God to recreate things. But they did get there eventually. And so we've seen improvement in the lives of people in Louisiana, and specifically in the city of New Orleans that was hit so hard. So as Dave said, here we are. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter. So again, happy Easter. Now come on, you should have some joy. I didn't have this prop first service. So that's why I grabbed one, because you know, anytime you guys get too quiet, I'll just grab joy, and you can't not smile. So we've been looking at being made new, authentically, undercover, and in a new way, through forgiveness. Today, we're going to spend some time looking at the new promise that's offered by Christ's resurrection. So please pray with me. Creator God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be measured and found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Let's go back to Easter morning. The women go to the tomb and find it empty. They run back to tell everyone. Jesus appears to Mary. And then he comes and spends time with 10 of the 12 disciples. And later that day, he spent some time with two men who were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and he opened their eyes to the Scripture. A week later, Jesus appears to the disciples again. This time there's 11 of them, because Thomas is back. They saw and believed. Yes, they were still living here on earth. Same earth we live on. But now they're living with a new hope, filled with love. There's a lot of images in Revelation chapter 21. In verse 3, we are told, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God." We're no longer separated from God. We'll be living with him constantly, 24/7, 365. You have to go all the way back to the beginning of the story, to the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the world, to appreciate what that can look like. Heaven won't be necessary because God and humans are living together. Now keep in mind, today's scripture is not usually heard during Easter time. We usually hear it at funerals. And it's because it offers comfort to those who hear. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. This is utopia. The sea is gone. And back when Revelation was written, the sea was something filled with terror, filled with apprehension. It's where the beast came from. The sea is evil, and it is gone. In the new earth, there's not a cloud in the sky, sort of like this morning. All is bright because we live with God. We awake every day renewed, worshiping God. This is a time for celebration, for joy. Okay, very good. You're still here. The new heaven and the new earth are one. And this is where we're going to live every moment with God. Chapter 21 starts out, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Trying to visualize this, it's a big undertaking. For you engineers, where are you? You builders? Okay, I'm going to tell you where to go for more information. Actually, everyone can go there. Do some research. You can find more detail about the New Jerusalem in Revelations, starting at chapter 21, verse 9, all the way through to chapter 22, verse 5. Now, I'll let you in on a clue. One of the things it tells us is the wall is 1,400 miles long, so not quite as long as the distance along the Mexican border. But the difference is, it's also 1,400 miles high. All right, everybody have that in their mind? That's a wall. So, what do you do when you're faced with a wall like that? You do a web search, because you want to see what that would look like. So, this is one artist's depiction of what that New Jerusalem would look down like coming down out of heaven to earth. You can see it's magnificent. It's huge. So, decided to dig a little further, and I came across this one. Whoops, sorry. For those of you who don't know, that's Star Trek Next Generation, and that's the Borg. But you can understand my confusion, right, and why that image would come up. And you see the little... Well, it's actually a pretty big Starship Enterprise. How do the... Oh, not to scale. All right, so that one's a little scary, also not real. Yeah, it doesn't look that big. So I found another one. You know, I'm sorry, on this one, I don't know. I don't know about you, but for some reason, I have the desire to go find a young lady named Dorothy. And, I don't know, maybe a scarecrow, a tin man, say a lion, maybe cowardly at that. And, and a little dog, too. And follow that yellow brick road to the New Jerusalem. That last one actually makes a lot of sense because Revelation, when it was first written, it was written as a book of comfort and hope, what the future will be. Over the years, though, the message about the prophecy changed just a bit. It changed to fear and despair. Because what happened was, once again, man got a hold of it and switched it to looking at the end times, the events that occur before the reading you heard this morning. Got all twisted. I prefer to go with comfort and hope and joy. Very good. Sin, evil, gone, conquered. No more consequences. God wins. You can go to the end of the book and read it. When we are living with God, we'll have everything we need. No more human-created differences. The petty things that separate us from each other and from God won't matter. You won't go driving down the road in New Jerusalem, going church shopping. There will be only one religion, one God. And we all get to worship Him. Here's a word for that, and no, it's not joy. It's peace. Peace with each other, peace with ourselves, and peace with Christ. When we look at the world today, it's broken, it's hurting, it's warring. How could that possibly be made new? Besides, right? Christ died for our sins. We're going to get to go to heaven. We get to be with God. So why do we need a new heaven and a new earth? It's all good. I believe it's because we're not living in the world that God intended for us to be living in. Sin came in. Pain, suffering, death. These weren't God's plan. On occasion, I have been told that I look at the world through rose-colored glasses. I actually request that from the optometrist. You know, I live with my head in the clouds. I'm tall. What can I say? I'm unrealistic. True on all counts. And I'm okay with that. See, I don't want to wait until some unknown future time to get to live with God in New Jerusalem. What if Revelation is telling us what could be today? If we live our life as Christ showed us, with love, compassion, forgiveness, joy, and hope. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus tells the crowd, "The meek will inherit the earth." What if he wasn't talking about the earth that we live in, but he was talking about the new earth? This is our challenge, isn't it? Getting more people, starting with me, to live a Christ-like life and start moving towards the New Jerusalem. New. It's used several times in this scripture. So here's your Greek lesson for the day. I'll pronounce it wrong, so you can go Google it and have it, oh, not Google, whatever search engine you happen to use, because this is not an advertisement for any particular search engine. Kainos. It means new in quality, innovation, fresh in development, or opportunity. Not found exactly like this before. So in my lifetime, I can think of a few things on this earth that fit that description. Microsoft. Apple. And then everybody's favorite, the Facebook. Some of those things we would like to unsee, but unfortunately, they are part of who we are. I went to Grand Valley State University back when it was colleges, so a long time ago. And Throughout high school, what I was told was, my parents heard this often, Bob is not achieving to his apparent abilities. Well, when a 17-year-old, almost when he turns 18, heads off to college, and that's the description of him, college probably isn't the best place for him at that point. You know, there's even more distractions. No, the distractions aren't girls. That wasn't the distraction. The biggest distraction was so many other things to do, and nobody made me do anything. Because quite frankly, I was lazy. So at the end of my second term, my grade point average was, guess the first digit, 1 point, so there's a point at least, 5. For you educators, that's either a D plus, or if you're being gracious, a C minus. Not going far with that kind of a grade point average. And it was in my major, too, accounting. So, as you can see, that's why I left that profession. But now for the rest of the story. I had met a young lady. And at first, she didn't like me. But what's not to like? She came around. We got it figured out. And we started dating. And I suddenly had a purpose. Somebody more important than me. She does take all the credit, by the way. Somebody asked me after first service, so how did it end up? I actually graduated with honors in 3 years. Now that's a change. That's being made new. And thankfully, Sue agreed to spend the rest of her life with me, and every day I get made new because we're both in love with each other and in love with Christ, and I'm truly blessed. This is from verse 6. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Just as Jesus proclaimed, it is finished, when he breathed his last, the proclamation comes again. It is done. There's nothing more needed. God as the Alpha and Omega. This is the only book of the Bible where that's mentioned in Revelation. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was there at the beginning and is there at the conclusion. Perfection has returned. Sins are not only forgiven, sin is gone. Sin is conquered. Then, to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. This is the same water that Jesus offered the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, verse 10. The living water will provide everything we need to sustain us. No longer will we have to pursue more, more, more. We won't have any need for material possessions or for food. God satisfies our every need. Second Peter 3:13 tells us, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new earth and a new heaven where righteousness dwells. A little bit of study here. Global Bible Commentary puts it this way. Christians are not merely to look toward that new creation. In Christ, in the power of God's Spirit, there is already the possibility of bringing about that new creation in individuals' lives and corporate action on behalf of a better world. No need to go to heaven. God is with us. So Revelation reveals the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. What it doesn't do is put a date on it. We don't know when it's going to happen. It also doesn't tell us that we have to wait. There are so many small things that we can do now, that I can do now, to move towards the new. Show a little more love. Offer a shoulder for someone who's hurting. Live a more Christ-like life every day. Hug a little bit longer. Pray for healing. Lend a hand. Say thank you. And have the courage to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. You can be the new. As Christians, Christ followers, disciples, it is up to us to move toward the earth that God intended. Now, what I'd like you to do is just take the next couple of minutes, close your eyes, and just imagine. Creator God, we live in this broken world that only you can make whole. Help us to love as Christ loved us, and help us to share what we know is the end story with those who we love and even those we don't. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, amen.